Pastor asked me to kind of be the preacher this morning, and I'm an old-time kind of gospel preacher, and it's hard for me not to preach when I get up here, but I don't really want to preach today. I just wanted to kind of talk to you a little bit. The title of the sermon is The Pride Factor, A Personal Testimony. The real sermon title is probably What the Spirit of Pride Has Meant to Me, but that's kind of corny and trite, so. But that's really what I want to talk to you for a little bit about and just share a little bit with you today. I'll try not to preach, but I'm going to have to stifle myself, so forgive me. Several years ago, MCC, the denomination, held a sermon contest, and it's interesting, the winners of the contest were Nathan Meckley, Glennis Shepherd, and Penny Nixon. Of course, Nathan and Glenn were our last two pastors, and Penny Nixon, we had her speak at a retreat that we had. She formerly pastored in San Francisco. And I entered the contest myself and was one of the two or three runners-up. And the sermon that I preached, that I'd preached it here during an interim time when we were doing a series on the core values of the MCC. The sermon title was Crossing Over, and the theme was reconciling our spirituality and our sexuality. And the journey, my journey, had been very, very difficult, as many of our journeys have been difficult. It was a journey that almost cost me my life, my soul, and my very being. And this sermon started off, and I'm not going to preach the whole sermon today, obviously, but the sermon started off with the story of Moses. And you may remember Moses had been born into a Jewish family. His mother put him in the river. He was found by the Pharaoh's daughter and was raised as royalty in the palace of Pharaoh. Then, through some experiences that he had, he found he needed to escape, and he ran to the backside of the desert, working for his father-in-law, tending sheep, and he was on the backside of the desert in obscurity for 40 years, I believe it was. And during that time, he had a lot of time to think and to try to reconcile and find the meaning for his life. And Moses finally discovered his purpose in life by understanding that, yes, he was of Jewish heritage, but he also had standing in the royal palace. And by reconciling those things, he understood that he alone was a person who could march back into capital of Egypt, into the Pharaoh's palace, and demand the release of his people and lead them through the desert into the promised land. By reconciling those two facets of his existence. Well, I have to tell you that I found out that that's what happened to me, that was my story in life. When I realized that I was a gay man and a Christian, but I was first a Christian, long before I ever discovered my sexuality, I knew from my very early days that Jesus was my prophet, that I had made a choice to serve Jesus, and that I had a relationship with God, and it turned out that I happened to also be a gay man. When I was able to own up to both of those sides and reconcile that, my life began to straighten out. So, you know, I'm not going to go. Most of you have heard parts of this story through various sermons and talks that we've had in the past. I'm not going to go into it. Don't have time today. But I would like to say that I was that what happened to me is something that happened to many of us in our life. And we, as we come to the story of the Hebrew children, we faced the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar in our lives. People that we trusted to have our best interest at heart. People that we had confidence in to always do the best for us. Confronted us with their own prejudices. And really, we found them having thrown us into a fiery furnace. We went through the trauma and we went through the drama. How do you like that? We went through the trauma and we went through the drama of being through the fiery furnace, and we have stood face to face with the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar. We were living our lives and living our lives for the first time. Okay, it's not a dress rehearsal. We were trying to find our way. We were following the light and the truth as we had discovered it. We were sincerely following our hearts, and then Nebuchadnezzar showed up. And full of this spirit, these folks threatened us. They insisted we give up things that we knew in our hearts were real. They and their team grabbed us and threw us bound and clothed into the blazing fiery furnace. Several months after I moved to Portland over 20 years ago, I discovered this particular Metropolitan Community Church. I'd been to others through the years. And I have to tell you, when I walked in and sat down the first time, I was still in the fiery furnace. I was still facing that spirit of Nebuchadnezzar every day in my life. Not long after I discovered the church, Roy Cole came to be our pastor. I came week after week, set in this building, and I wept my way through every service as he talked about the fact that we were indeed blessed and precious and loved children of God. And no matter what church leaders had told us, no matter what our parents may have told us, no matter what society had told us, God loved us and we were his precious children. God used Roy and this church in a mighty way to help me find deliverance from that fiery furnace. And I know that's been the same for most of us in one way or another. And so it was here that I began to discover who I really was. That I could own up to being a Christian and own up to my sexuality. And as I did that, I began to find a way to cross over into God's promised land. But the change didn't happen overnight. Janet, a woman that I worked with at Vancouver Furniture, we'd become friends. And one day we were on lunch hour, and we happened to stop by a place in Vancouver that rebuilt pianos. And we went in there, and I sat down at a piano, began to play, and I sang a song for her. And she was she was really more of an atheist than anything, but she looked at me, and she knew some of the struggles I'd been having. And she gave me some of the best advice I've ever gotten. I heard the voice of God in the advice she gave me that day. She insisted that my pathway to wholeness must include music. And I heard that. And I began to sing and play again. I had moved into an old house up in North Portland, and the owners had left an old upright piano there. And there it sat, and I looked at it day after day. And Janet told me this, and then I began to once in a while sit down and play and sing. And I rediscovered my love of Southern gospel music, the Gaither style that you may have seen on TV. And as I began to play and sing again, my friend Mark Brown and myself began to sing at church, and then Dennis Carter moved to town, and we put a group together called the Joyful Sound that some of you may remember. This is all coming back to pride, so give me a moment here. We were asked to sing on the church float that year, okay? So here I was, having struggled with my spirituality and my sexuality, found my love of gospel music, loved to sing. We were invited to sing on the church float. And actually, we did that 3 or 4 years in a row, as I recall. But I remember that first year so intently. The song we were singing on the back of the truck was going to walk this road to glory. It was an upbeat song, and we looked, and right that year, in back, the very next contingency in the parade behind us, here was Darcel and all of her girls with big hair. And boy, it was a fast song, and they had on their heels, and they were just high-stepping and smiling to walk this road to glory. You know, The feeling of that day has never left me. It did something for me. The spirit of pride that empowered me in a way that I will never forget on that afternoon. And then the next 3 years after that, Joyful Sound was the very first music group on Sunday morning down at the main stage area. For 3 years in a row, we went down there and we began the program with a set of gospel music. And I remember this happened every year, but it was especially impactful the first year. We got down there, and here were all the people out on the perimeter with their signs. God hates fags, you're going to hell, whatever, you know, those people, yelling and taunting us. And it was really amazing, because we got up there, and we started singing about Jesus. We started singing about God and about the Spirit, about what God meant to us. And you know, halfway through the first song, it was like they didn't know what to do. They were like, you could see it on their faces, and they could completely shut down, and by the end of the song, they had vanished, and nobody knew where they went. They just went away, okay? The spirit of pride. And that was such a feeling of deliverance, really, from that fiery furnace. It's when I realized that I was really living the story of the Hebrew children. It's when it dawned on me that I was finally delivered from the spirit of King Nebuchadnezzar. And this is the power of the spirit of pride that we celebrate today and every day of our lives. And in this moment on Pride Sunday, I carry in my spirit the reality of the scripture from Romans and the Apostle Paul. And I celebrate with all of you what it really means to say that we are more than conquerors. In fact, it is my testimony to you today that I have more than conquered. In fact, I have found a place of triumph. And it's also my testimony that even though I have been in the fiery furnace, I've been called out to stand here today without a blister, without a scorched garment, with not even the smell of smoke upon me from that furnace. Our faith, coupled with the spirit of pride, allows us to understand and believe and live in the power of Romans 8. For who is it that shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is it trouble or hardship? Could it be prosecution or famine? Maybe it is nakedness or danger or sword. I say emphatically no. For in all these things we are more than conquerors through the one who loves us. For I am convinced, even the word is, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Final thought today, and I was talking with Pastor Nathan about pride and this service, and he said, you know, it for some of us that have been doing this for many years, it can kind of seem like routine, and do we really feel like we need to be involved? We're kind of there. And you know, he's sharing down at the waterfront, and we agreed that I would share this today too as a challenge, that we need to understand that it is kind of upon us to continue to pay this idea forward. At the booth every year downtown, there are people that come by, and they are in the fiery furnace. They are in this area, this time of dilemma, trying to reconcile what's going on with them in these issues that we've talked about. And it's very important for us to support this work, to dedicate ourselves to tell our story. And may we be determined and be always ready to help someone else find their way. Let's be generous of deed and lavish in our celebration. This is the spirit of pride.